Gemara Rabosai, first of all, I want to thank very much Dr. Schuster for sponsoring last week's shiur. And Be'ezus Hashem, this week's shiur is still available for sponsorship, so if somebody wants to let me know or let Mr. Davies know. Thank you, Beresh. Should be a refuah shlema for all of Klal Yisrael. I specifically want to dedicate the shiur refuah shlema to my father, who's in the hospital now. Should have a refuah shlema. Avi ben Tzipora Feiga. We spoke about the fact that I might not be able to say his name because you're not allowed to say your father's name. But if you ask me, so you can daven, then I'm allowed to say. Yechiel Michal ben Tzipora Feiga. So what we're going to talk about today is, to be honest, the real beginning of the sugya. Because until now, we were... Thank you. If you could just pass them around. Those are the Shulchan Aruch. If you could just pass that around, please. No, that if you could pass that new sheet around. The real sugya of Muktzah, in getting into the way it's going to really be, is probably going to start today. And that's because we're going to see that there's going to be hashlachos and applications. We're going to be jumping between different types of muktzahs and different halachas that relate to muktzah, and that's really going to be starting today. Let's start with we finished Sif Aleph last week. Let's go to Sif Beis of the Shulchan Aruch. Before we do it, this Sif is going to be a little bit unusual because you don't really know what the issue is going to be. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about if something is very large, is it going to have a din of a kli? Why is it important? Well, you'll see in a moment. But I think the applications that are going to be, before we see the Shulchan Aruch, the application that we have to think of is a bookcase. A bookcase, there's nothing muktzah, nothing bad about a bookcase, right? There's nothing usher that we do with a bookcase. Similarly, if you have an Eretz Yisrael, when they don't have built-in closets, we have an aron. We have... You have an aron that's not a built-in closet, but it's a movable closet, but it's a very large. Or you have a grandfather clock, a very large grandfather clock. These are very large kelim. So the fact that something is large in and of itself, to make it not a kli. Or more specifically, you'll see what the more specific issue is in a moment. But let's look at the Shulchan Aruch first. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis, Kol kli afil hu gadol, V'kaved harbe, even if it is very large and exceedingly heavy, lo nisbatel shem kli mimenu. Lo mipnei gadlo, v'lo mipnei kavdo. Its size nor its weight will take away the shem kli. And therefore, a bookcase has a din of a kli. A closet, that a movable closet that you could fit three people in it, it will have a din of a kli. A bed will have a din of a kli. A grandfather clock will have a din of a kli. Who really cares? So the Mishnah Brura, if you look in source, I didn't number them, the Mishnah Brura, right underneath the word grandfather clocks, the Mishnah Brura on this Sif explains that I might have thought, based on what we learned last week in Sif Aleph, there's a concept of Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. And we learned last week that the way the Gemara defines, at least in one point, what is Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis, it's Shemiyachid Lamakom. And if you're miyachid lo makom, and that is the definition of something that you're very careful about, if you have a grandfather clock, you're probably pretty particular about your grandfather clock. You would probably not use your grandfather clock to, you know, as a paperweight. You keep it in a very set place. You have a closet. You're not going to move your closet around because of, litzorech, I don't know what, because you need to... You know, you want to block the door. You don't want your brother your kids are running around and they want to block the door. So they're not going to move a bookcase to block the door so that their brother doesn't come in and get them. You know, maybe in a case of, they talk about active shooters. And NYU, they have all the active shooters, right? In the universities, every room has an active shooter protocol. So they say, as an active shooter, you should barricade the doors with anything, with bookcases.
Have it in high schools too, not just in universities.
High schools also, right, yes. Exactly. So other than that, we're not going to be moving around our bookcases or our own notes to block the doors. So maybe if they're going to be set in a specific place and you're makpid on that place, maybe that should render it that it's a klisha malach, that it's muktzah machmas chisaron klis, because you're miyachid lamakom, you designate a specified place. Oh, that's why the Shulchan Aruch comes to tell you, just because you're miyachid lamakom, that doesn't mean that it's that it has, it still remains its din kli, and it's not going to be, says the Mishnah Berurah, mutter afilu einu ragel atal to bimas achol, even though you normally would never move these items, these very large items, mikom akom lo amrinan, we don't say that because it's so heavy, because it's so big, because it's you always leave it where it is, that therefore, that it's muktzamachas chisar and kiss. However, something fascinating. Venira, it seems to me, says Mishnah Berurah, the biyamos hachol who zahir lahaniya mimakomo, if you're careful not to move it, not because it's big, but because it's valuable, this is the difference maybe between an antique grandfather clock and an aron. Yeah, right. A closet, a movable, one of those aron, no, it's a movable closet, let's say it costs $200, $300. They're big, they're heavy, but they're not delicate. An antique grandfather clock, that's delicate. So there's a difference between, they're both very heavy, so I'm not going to be moving them. But that which I'm not going to move, the grandfather clock, is also because of its delicateness, my concern for its value, that's different than a regular aron. So there's going to be a distinction. He says the Mishnah Berurah, "Nira im b'yomos hachol huzari laniyam, I'm careful to not move it. Mimakom kadesh lo tipasev tiskalkel, I don't want to move a grandfather clock so it shouldn't break. Memela, then it will be mechlam muktzamachas chesaron kis also l'taltala. That would render it a muktzamachas chesaron kis. I would not be able to move the grandfather clock. Masha ain't came the closet or the bookcase, as big as it might be, as heavy as it might be, and because of that I usually don't move it around, that is not going to be sufficient to render it muktzamachas chesaron kis. Okay. There is one short Magen Avram on this piece. If you look at the second sheet I gave out, let's look at the Magen Avram on Sif Beis. Magen Avram, Sif Katan Dalet. V'kavid harbe, says the Magen Avram, v'hu adin even gedola o kor gedola im yesh toras kli aleha mutter. Let's say you have a specified stone. Where could you think in Chumash of a stone that was used, designated? Very good, right? V'yakov. I'm sorry, Yitzchak. Yitzchak, right? Eliezer. Yaakov, okay, I'm sorry. Yaakov. Right, his regalgel, the Evan, al pia be'er. So that was probably a big stone. That's the whole point.
The 12 stones got together. He sleeps
in that. That's not going to be big. You don't see that it's very big. There's an example.
Yeah, they could not move it. The Roman could not move it.
The point of the big stone al pia be'er is that the Rome, any individual Roa can move it, but it was a big one. So if you have all the Rome there, they can move it. So what's the point there? That's going to have a din kli. Why does it have a din kli? Because it's not just a stone on the floor like a pebble. It's a stopper. It's a cover. It's placed there intentionally and purposely and designated, so it has a din kli. Oh, it weighs 452 pounds. Does that make it mukta? Says the Magen Avram, quoting the Rambam, no. Even if it's an Evan Gadol or a Korah Gadol, just a beam. Let's say you have a heavy beam. Now, again, there could be beams that are mukta. If it's a beam that's to be part of a construction of a house, that's super duper mukta, because designated to not use.
Or the door.
What?
The shower, the bar of the shower.
Let's say you have a very, very heavy beam that you use for some other permitted purpose. I was thinking of a battering ram. Is a battering ram a klisha malach to l'isser?
No, to close the doors, the shorim, you put a beam across.
Yeah, good, very good. Let's say in the olden days they have those gigantic gates to a city, and they have a cross beam. A heavy cross beam that would, you know, protect them from intruders in the nighttime, and that gigantic beam. So it's just a beam. It's not like it's not a kli that has a tashmish that with a shape that you use for this or for that. It's just a big stick of wood that you insert as a cross beam to hold the door lock. So there, even though it's gigantic, it's heavy, and it doesn't really have a form of a kli, nevertheless, says the Rambam, since it has a Torah's kli ola, because we have this designated purpose, that's going to be mutter. It will not be rendered muktzamachas chesaron kis, even if you usually wouldn't move it. I mean, this is a case where you would move it, and so to the Evan that I just described, it's saying that you do move, but even if it's saying that you wouldn't move, but as long as it has a Torah's kli, size doesn't make a difference. Okay. Right, so I didn't want to go there because I wanted to talk about things that would be mutter. So that's why I didn't talk about an hour. Right, that's correct. Okay, that's the end of this if. Not much to talk about. The next if, however, will keep us very busy. The next if is going to introduce to us the sugya of klisha malach to l'isser. Klisha malach to l'isser, in one word, there are going to be a few aspects that we have to talk about. First of all, in general, what is a kli shemlach tel iser? Kli shemlach tel iser is a utensil that usually you use, you do isurim with. You violate malacha. You do malachas with this kli. So that's what we call muktzah, a hammer. It's a classical kli shemlach tel iser. So a few things. First of all, we're going to see in the Shulchan Aruch in a moment that there are cases that you're allowed to move it. That you might be familiar with. What we have to do is talk about a number of permutations of a kli shemlach tel iser. What happens if you sometimes use it for iser, you sometimes use it for heter? What about poultry shears? Poultry shears in your kitchen. They look exactly like scissors. In fact, they are scissors. They just charge $4 more because it says poultry before the word shears. So there's the fact, and it's made by Rubbermaid and not by, I don't know, some stationery company. So there's the fact that it's poultry, the fact that it's used for, if it's for paper, then it's muktzah. If it's for chicken, then it's
muta
lechatchila. It's a kli shemlach tel iser. It's muta lechatchila. What happens if I use it for both? That's one question we'll have to deal with. Another question that we're going to have to deal with is what happens if I do move it, letzorech gufo mekoma, as we'll learn in this sif in Shulchan Aruch, and it's in my hand, can I now? I had this shaila on Shabbos. We had a pair of scissors on the floor, and my little boy was going to get it. So my bigger boy grabbed it quickly before my baby started playing with the scissors. So I said, Moshe, stop where you are right now. It's in his hands. I said, the scissors you're holding are muktzah.
Once he has it in his hand, he can put it in
his hand. That's what we have to talk about. Once he had it in his hands, could I tell him, now put it in a place exactly where I want? We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what the parameters are of that. That's going to be another question we're going to have to talk about. Third question that we'll have to talk about is going to be, if you are allowed to use a kli shemlach tel iser, letzorech gufo mekomo, is that a blanket heter? Does that mean it's mutar lechatchila? Meaning, let's say I'm sitting here right at this table and I want to scratch my back. And I have two options in front of me. I could scratch my back either with this tissue box, which is a kli shemlach tel heter, or with the back of this pen, which is a kli shemlach tel iser. If we're going to say, as we'll learn shortly, that a kli shemlach tel iser, you're allowed to use letzorech gufo for some other permitted purpose, like scratching your back. So does that mean that I could take the pen to scratch my back just as quickly as I could take the tissue box to scratch my back? So these are among the questions that we have to learn through to understand kli shemlach tel iser. But let's... You'll scratch my back. I appreciate that. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back.
You don't have to come into the shower.
Okay, let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Gimel. Kli Shemalach Tel Iser. We're going to skip the Rama for now. Kli Shemalach Tel Iser, Mutil Etaltel. If we stop there, it would sound funny. So we're not going to stop there. Kli Shemalach Tel Iser, Mutil Etaltel. Skip the Rama. Bein Litzarach Gufo. Whether to use for some other permitted purpose, Kegon. Kurnas Shel Zahavim. This word does not mean gold. It means goldsmith. Zahav is like ganav. A komatz and a patach is always a profession. A chamor is a donkey driver. A nahag is a driver. A zahav is a goldsmith. O nafach, same thing. Nafachim. So if you have a hammer that belongs to either a goldsmith or a blacksmith, and what does he usually do? He usually hammers out his metal. Does anyone know what malacha it is to hammer down metal?
Smoothing.
It's not.
Thank you. That was a trick question. Ravosai, Maka B'Patish. This is the source of Maka B'Patish, according to many Shitas. In the Mishkan, when they made their Kalim, when they were forming a Kli, the last thing that the smith would do would be to make sure the Kli is smooth or has the right shape. So he'd bang it down, and that's literally Maka B'Patish, according to some Rishonim. Yes. So if you want to bang it, that's clearly a malacha d'araisa, to form your kli and bang the metal down.
It's a big example, because I don't think they'd let you use the hammer for anything else. Those are special.
If it's a blacksmith, then it's a big, strong hammer. You're right. The gold one might not, so that might be a different issue. Although the word kurnas usually implies a heavy hammer, so I guess we're talking about a heavy hammer. You want to use the lift soba goes to crack nuts. You want to use this hammer that you use usually for malachas. We'll call it a hammer. We use hammers for banging nails. That's also a kli shemlach tel iser. But you're allowed to use it to crack knots. The tzoba goes in. Similarly, if you have this big knife that you usually use, I don't know, in the butcher shop for some malacha, in the butcher shop, like to flay the skin, which is hefshed, which is one of the lam tes malachos, and you want to, kordom could be an axe, thank you, you're going to use, instead of chopping the wood, you're going to use it lachtuch bo devela, to cut a bunch of figs that are a wheel of figs. So that's going to be mutter. Similar heter that we're going to give for klisha malachal iser, bein letzorach mekomo. Dehainu shetzorach lehishtamesh bimakom shehakli munachsham. I want to read that line again because there's a shaila that comes up very often. The shaila is more often asked by women than by men, and you'll understand why. I walk into the living room on Shabbos, and lo and behold, my husband left his hammer on the coffee table in the middle of the living room. Azach chutzpah, doesn't he know we're having guests? They're going to see a hammer sitting on the coffee table in my living room. Now, what's happening in the coffee table?
Is it allowed into the living room?
What's happening with the coffee table? Absolutely nothing. What are you going to be putting on the coffee table? Absolutely nothing. What do you need the space for? You don't need the space, but...
it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good to be in this space.
Not Shabbos.
This shaila comes up so often, you have no idea. And you have no idea how many Beis Yaakov girls who know Hilchas Muktzah and know, oh, Klisha Malachtul is, you're allowed to move Litzarech Mekomo. This is Ma'amesh Litzarech Mekomo, right? Rabbi said, let's look carefully at the words of the Shulchan Aruch. Bein Litzarech Mekomo, bottom line, Dehainu, Shetzarech Lihishtamesh Bimokom Shakli Munach Sham. You have to use the place where it's situated, and therefore the case where somebody thinks that it looks vachadik, it doesn't look Shabbosik to have a table, to have a hammer on the, or the other edge of the table. Let's say you have a long table that seats 12, seats 10, and you only have 4 people there for Shabbos, and there's a hammer on the other side of the table. And your wife says, it's disgusting to have a hammer. How could you, we're going to move it, right? No, unless you're sitting there, you need to sit there, you need to be Rishtamsh in that place, then it's going
to
be, you know, then it'll be
I need the place to be clear. I need the place to be clean.
You don't need the place to be clean. You don't need to, that's, thank you. So Yossi, look at the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say I need the place to be clear. It says I need to use that place. I need to do Ishtamshut B'Moksha Kli Munasham. And therefore, the case we just described is indeed Asur. You cannot move. And I'll tell you better. If your wife tells you, oh, get rid of that hammer because it looks so vachadik, tell her no, to the contrary. By leaving it there, that makes it more Shabbos thing because you left it there. L'chavet Shabbos. Good luck with Shabbos.
What about the heter to move something because it might damage the thing itself? Isn't that part of gufa also? Something
absolutely not.
Rain, you
know, absolutely
what's
not.
What's that called?
That's called what he's trying to avoid saying. That's called micham letzel. What is he being matir here? The Shulchan Aruch is being matir, moving sa letzorach makom letzorach gufa. What is, as opposed to what? What else? Why else might I move it? Right. Let's say this was a shayla we had this week. Who here didn't buy anything online this past week? We all bought something online this past week, okay? I had boxes coming in all Shabbos long. All Shabbos long. My son got a new electric guitar, and it's sitting outside in the rain. So my son comes running in, Mamish Pikuach Nefesh, and how could I get this? This is a klisha malach to le'isser, right? A guitar, even though it's not really electric. Well, if you plug it in, it becomes electric, but it's a guitar. A guitar is a klisha malach to le'isser because it's made to play music, which is aser. Oh, it's only aser de rabbanan. Ooh, okay, that's another question we'll have to ask. That's going to be a prima gadim shortly. So we'll see that shortly. So the question is, could you move it? The Gemara's lashon is mechama letzel. You want something not to get ruined by the sun, you want to move it into the shade. In this case, we want to move it out of the rain. So chisaron kis, I don't want to use those words because they carry. I don't want to use. You mean hefset?
Yes,
hefset. You mean hefset? I don't want to use the word chisaron kis because that's going to make them miss. Hefset. I don't want to get into hefset because hefset to be matir nisa derabana because of hefset, it has to be a hefset merubah. That's A and B. You always have to ask a shaila from a rav if it really constitutes hefset merubah. Hefset merubah is a real hefset. Like when we allow certain malachas on cholamoid, if it's a hefset merubah, it has to be a real hefset merubah. I'm saying we're talking like a few thousand dollar damage. If it's going to be, you know, a little, you know, the guitar is not a, I don't know what, it's a
depends
beginner.
Depends what type of guitar, yeah.
I understand that. It's not a Vladis Stramis?
What?
Stradivarius. It wasn't a Stradivarius.
This is how it sells because you can get all the damage.
So when we say over here in this Shulchan Aruch that is mutter, the tzorach mekom and gufa, what that really means is, but not mecham letzel. It is not permitted to move it to protect the value of the item itself. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, You have a guitar sitting in the rain outside. Is a mutter to take it inside to protect it? It's not litzach gufo, because I'm not going to be using the guitar to scratch my back. Ooh, that might be a good suggestion. All of a sudden, my son's back started itching him. He's like, Abba, can you scratch my back with that guitar box? Oh, that's true, but whatever, okay. Is it litzach mekoma? It was not blocking it. FedEx doesn't block your entrance with it. So there's no head to. You want to do it for whose sake? Not for your sake, for yourself, gufo, for its sake. That's called Michal Tzel, that's going to be usher. I told him, I'm sorry, it's usher. That we'll talk about later. Maybe there's going to be another way to move it with the rest of your body. That's a whole sugya which we'll get to either the end of today or maybe next week. It's actually in this show. Ask a guy, are you allowed to ask a guy to do malach of you on Shabbos? No. Muktza might be different, but that's another sugya. We're not going to talk about that now. Great. I'm sorry you don't have the next few words. I'll fill in the next few words. Look at the last few words of the Shulchan Aruch. Umutu lo litlo misham. You're allowed to move it there. Once you're taking it, litzach gufo mekomo, you're allowed to lift it up, litzach gufo mekomo, ulhanicho, and I'll tell you the next few words, be'ezem makom sheyirtze, wherever you want to put it. So back to this shiloh, which happened in my house. My little son is lunging for the, my baby son's lunging for the screw, for the scissors. My bigger son realizes his status. He quickly grabs the scissors. I say, Moshe, stop. You have a scissors in your hand. Scissors are mukta. They're klisha malach til iser. I want you to go right now to the desk in the kitchen, right where we keep our scissors, and put them all the way in the back of the desk where we always keep them so he can't reach it. Why? Because once it's in his hands, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, you're allowed to put it be'ezem makam shayir, to wherever you want, once it's in your hand. I'll tell you the next five words. Aval, says the Shulchan Aruch, mecham alitzel, when you want to move the item from the sun to the shade, to protect it, dahayinu she'en tzarech letatul, ela mipnei sheyarei sheyishaber. Oh, you ganev sham, you only want to move it to protect it from being damaged or from being stolen. This could happen. You get a delivery on Friday, 6 o'clock from FedEx or UPS, and something might get stolen. It's something that might be valuable, especially after, in Washington Heights, which is a real problem. After Black Friday, there would always be thefts of packages that the FedEx drivers leave right outside, because people know it's Cyber Monday, people got buying computer parts and laptops and stuff and video things, so people would steal them.
Well, your newspaper gets delivered on Shabbos. Your face gets in rain and rooted.
100%. So would you not be able to, if you're worried about your newspaper, that a newspaper that gets delivered on Shabbos is probably nolad. Right. It's very seriously muktzah. This is not a frumkeit. Frumkeit would be to say the paper that was printed on Friday, the Friday paper on Shabbos. That might be frumkeit. The paper that was printed on Shabbos might be real mamish nolad, because when Shabbos came in, it was nothing but it wasn't even a sheet of paper, it was a ream, it was like a roll that was a mile long in the New York Times plant. And then it becomes cut and printed and becomes a whole new thing. It becomes a newspaper on Shabbos itself. That's nolad yumamish, that's super duper namukta. Maybe even mukta do, right? Would the Pnei Yeshua say it's derisa? Maybe, I don't know. Okay, but we're not talking about newspapers printed on Shabbos. But certainly, let's say it was a newspaper that was delivered on Friday afternoon. So, or whatever, it wasn't printed on Shabbos, and it's in the rain, you want to, well, it's not mukta, so you could lift it up in your hand. But okay, it's fine. Now, let's look at the Magen Avraham, please. Actually, before we look at the Magen Avraham, let's look at the source to see the source in Chazal for the concept of Klisha Malach Tola Isser. Says the Mishnah on Kuf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, Mishnah, no tell Adam Kurnos, you're allowed to take a hammer, lefatzea bois ha'goza. The exact case that the Shulchan Aruch gave, a hammer to crack nuts. Kardom, and a hatchet, lachtuch bois ha'dvela. Similar. Megira is some kind of a saw. Okay, thank you. Lager bois ha'gvina. If you have one of these really hard cheeses, you want to take a saw to saw the cheese. Magrefa, some kind of scraper of sorts. Ligrof bois ha'grogros. To smooth something up, es harachas, es hamazleg, a pitchfork, right? Remember the picture of the devil with his pitchfork? Instead of using it to, what do you do with it? You take the hay, you throw it into the air for zora, and you're not going to use it for zora, which is a malacha daraisa. So you want to use it, es hamazleg, same thing, lasei salav lekat, and you're going to put a little, you're going to put a marshmallow on the end of it to hand it to somebody. all those things are okay. Esakush, esakarkar, these are big needles that are used to sew, either to sew or to make sacks out of. Litchovbo, you can use it as a toothpick. You can use it as a, you know, when you serve pineapple, sometimes they put toothpicks in the pineapples, everyone can take a piece of pineapple. You take one of these heavy-duty needles that are malacha needles and stick it in the pineapple on Shabbos. Machat shel yad, a smaller needle that usually you use to sew clothing, that's going to be permitted. Litobo asakotz, to remove a thorn from your foot on Shabbos. Not a thorn or a splinter from your foot on Shabbos. V'shel sakam, if you have a big needle, like a one that was made to make sacks of, you know, these burlap sacks, liftoch bo asadalos, you could use it as a, you know, if you lost your key, you could use it to as a lockpick. Thank you. So you see the Mishnah says, clearly you're allowed to move a klisha malach to l'iser, l'tzorach gufa. The Gemara in Shabbos, two blot later, kuf chav dal namun aleph, has an unusual lashon of a mission which the Gemara clarifies. Kol ha-kelim nitalim l'tzorach v'shelo l'tzorach. What does that mean? What does it mean? My litzorach or my shelo litzorach? The Gemara concludes with Amar Rava. Litzorach is the following: if you have a davar shemalach to leheter, you have a kli shemalach to leheter, like a spoon, kli shemalach to leheter, like a spoon, like a bowl, a plate, bein litzorach gufa bein litzorach mekama. And if it's shelo litzorach, if you don't need, you don't want to leave the spoon on the floor because somebody will step on it and bend it out of shape. So you know what? Even if there's no, you don't need to use it. You just are concerned that afil micham letzel. You're allowed to move that spoon even micham letzel. That's because it's a spoon. It's a kli shemalach to leheter. However, v'davar shemalach to leiser. If it's a kli shemalach to leiser, says the Gemara, it will only have the heter letzorach gufa letzorach mekamo in. Yes, that heter you'll have. Micham letzel, no, you don't have. Fine. This is the source in Chazal for the heter of gufo umekomo. Question number one that we have to ask ourselves: what about a guitar, which is only a kli shemalach to l'iser for an iser mide rabbanan? So this could be this will relate to any musical instrument. And any other time you have, what other examples are kelim that you only do iserim drabbanan with? A lot of things you do. Bathing suit is a shiloh that we're going to maybe see in the Prima Gadim. I don't want to call a piece of clothing a kli that you do an iser with. It doesn't enable you to do it. It's an interesting thing. It's a kli that you use when you're doing an iser, and you know where that shiloh is going to come up? It's a fascinating thing you point out. A telephone book. You don't do an iser with a telephone book. Right, nowadays no one knows what a telephone book is. You know, at least when I talk to this crowd, they know what a telephone book is. My students have to ask me what's a telephone book. A telephone book is something you don't do an iser with, but it's always used in conjunction with an iser. That's more like your question about a bathing suit. You don't do a malacha with your bathing suit, but bathing suit is always done in association with doing the iser d'rabbanan of swimming. Okay, so whatever other example, we can think of a billion examples. A handgun is kill.
That's the rabbanan, not the kill.
Okay, says the Prima Gadim on the bottom of the Amud, on the bottom of my page number one. Says the Prima Gadim, Malach to l'iser, mashma afilu osa melacha derabbanan, mikre malach to l'iser. All the halachas that we're going to be learning this week and next week apply equally, you can turn the page, whether it's an iser derabbanan that this kli is specified for or not. Next question. The next question, what's that? Yeah, you're saying based on the lamdas it all fits. The point of the iser of mukta, klisham lachta l'iser, we should actually talk about this for a second. Why are you not allowed to move a klisham lachta l'iser? So 3 weeks ago, we went through numerous reasons. In the Gemara, it sounded like it was an iser of hotza'ah. The Rambam gave a reason that maybe you shouldn't hold mukta because people who are retirees and don't do any work anyway might, Baruch Hashem and Arshul retirees learn all day and they keep the world turning, right? Right? And Arshul retirees keep the world turning, but there are some retirees who just sit and do nothing. So if they sit and do nothing, then Shabbos and weekdays look the same, so the Chazal had to make an added iser that you should do, even retirees will look, their Shabbos will look different. But that, all those reasons that the Rambam gave apply to other types of muktzah. As far as klei shenalach to l'esu, there's only one reason. It's an issur d'rabban that you might come to use the kli. You touch a guitar, you might play the guitar. You touch the hammer, you might bang a nail. And that's clear when it comes to klei shenalach to l'esu.
It's in the box though outside, then mamash you're not going to open the box on Shabbos and then use the guitar.
I don't think that will. I don't know if that will change anything. Okay, but let's talk about kalim like poultry shears. Let's talk about something different, which is a very important shaila and a very, very, very common shaila, and I think a lot of people don't know the halacha, and that is a pot. A pot. You have soup, and you've served the soup Friday night, and now you have a soup pot sitting on your counter. What is that pot used for?
Soup.
Cooking. Are you allowed to cook on Shabbos?
No. Or holding food.
Okay. So you're holding food in it. That's what you're saying. That's what we're going to talk about right now. Look at this Prima Gadim on the top of page 2. Uklisha malachtu l'isra al pi harov. Sometimes you have a kli that you use sometimes. Sometimes you have a kli that you use sometimes for isr, sometimes for heter. So if you use it most of the time for isr, umiuta mishtamshim bo heter, but only minority usages is it for heter. Im nezo basaro. Should we follow rov? For example, let's say somebody always walks around with a pocket knife, so that whenever, you know, their Boy Scout need comes up, they always have a pocket knife ready. Well, the Boy Scout motto is, be prepared. So they're a card-carrying Boy Scout, they always want to be prepared, they have their pocket knife. But you know what they also use it for? When they have an orange, they also peel or slice their orange with it. So does it need tefillas kalim? That's a good shaila. We're not going to talk about that now. But is that pocket knife a muktzah? Because usually that pocket knife is used to, I don't know, fix things and cut, you know, chip off pieces of wood, whatever else they use a pocket knife for. So should we follow Rav or not? Look at the Rashba that the Prima Gadim is about to quote. V'chudushi HaRashba talks about a meducha sheyesh bashum, a grinder that has a peppermill. Meducha is something that crushes, that has shum. Shum is garlic. It's a peppermill, a garlic mill. And the Rashba talks about that and says, if you have a peppermill or a garlic mill that has garlic inside of it, mutter. That's not muktzah. You're allowed to carry the peppermint. We know that grinding is an issur d'oraisa of tochein. But if there's garlic inside of it, the pepper's inside the mill, that little handheld peppermill is mutter. It's not muktzah at all. Hatam, kikedera hamitalteles im hatavshil. Look at those four words of the Rashba, because we're going to build a mountain on these four words. Kikedera, like a pot that you're allowed to carry with the food inside of it. What is the Rashba saying? When are you allowed to carry a pot?
The food's
with the food inside of it. So when are you allowed to carry a mill? If there's the garlic or the pepper inside of it. Now let's make the diyuk. But if you would have a pepper mill that's that doesn't have any garlic or pepper inside it, or you have a pot that doesn't have any soup left,
awesome.
It's going to be a klisha malachta l'isser. Mashma, says the Prima Gadim, kederishim evashlimba, if it would be rekanis, it's going to be a klisha malachta l'isser. And therefore, it's going to have the halachas of a klisha malachta l'isser, and it will be mechamel etzel aser. You want to use that, you have an empty soup pot on the kitchen counter. This happens every single week in many houses. My wife makes a big pot, and this way I eat it all week long. But those who make a pot of soup only for Friday night, you have an empty pot sitting on the counter, and it doesn't look pretty. Oh, if you need the place to slice the salad tomorrow, that's a heter of tzorach mekuma. If you need to use the pot to,
could you use that place? Let's say you have room all over the counter. You want to use this place so that you can tell yourself.
That's a great question. I have to look it up. What I'm thinking, as you ask, is it similar to the other question that we asked? If you could use a pen to scratch your back, or a tissue box to scratch your back, are you allowed to use that pen? So you say that's in the sugya of Tzorach Gufo. You're asking the same question in Mekomo. I don't need this place, but I could use this place. I'm not sure if it will be mutter, but I don't want to say yes or no. I'll have to check. I'm sure the person will speak about it. I'm not sure. I don't know yet.
The same question would be with the hammer on the dining room
table. If I remember correctly, again, I'm just going from memory. I think it's usher. But I don't want to say that, you know, on the tape, so it's not being taped officially. Don't pass like this. Follow up with me. But I think you're not allowed. I think if you could easily. I don't think you're allowed to chair. All of a sudden, you always sit on this side of the table, and now because you have a hammer on the other side of the table, your wife is screaming at you. So now you're going to sit on the other side of the table.
it goes the other direction, you have an alternative place to sit near the Tucson. Why would you not have to use the alternative place before you...
Well, I think you're allowed to sit wherever you normally sit. I don't think you have to renegotiate your seating because of the... What? Oh, so that's fine. Like, I have a very long table, so we only sit on half the table. We don't sit on the other half of our table. So it depends on, you know, how big your table is, how many people you're having. Okay. So says the primigadim being medayik in the Rashba, it sounds like if the pot would be empty, or if the peppermint would be empty, it would be a klisham laftal iser. But wait a second, continues the primigadim. Why in the world would a pot, I understand the peppermint, what do you do with a peppermint? You grind, you mill. That's always for laftal iser. But a pot... We use pots for lots of things. Says the Prima Gadam. We typically put fruits. Sometimes you have a pot and you put fruits in the pot. Says the Prima Gadam. I see from this Rashba. Ho'il since v'ruba l'bishol have a klishem l'achtel iser. And this indeed is how we paskin that a pot is a klishem l'achtel iser because we follow Rav Tashmish. Now, gentlemen, I want to raise a fascinating question before you make that. But hold on, please. Gentlemen, we have something that we have in modern day times, and that's called oven to table, Corningware. A pot, like a soup pot, a metal soup pot, you don't serve in your metal soup pot, right? Corningware, a glass Corningware that you make a kugel, the kugel goes in the oven with this Corningware glass Pyrex dish, and then it goes also on the dining room table. And then it goes in the fridge. And that goes on the dining room table again.
Right.
So let's talk about Rove. What is the Rove tasher for this Corningware, this Pyrex dish? What's the Rove?
Cooking
it. You cooked one time a week, and you had it on the dining room table,
and you stored
it in the fridge, and then you served it on Monday for dinner leftovers. That was three uses. So this Corningware, Pyrex dish that you do in this oven to table. Is rubo leheter, and it's going to be mukta. It's going to be mutter. I'm sorry. It's going to be mutter lechatchila. It's a klishim lachta leheter, and you can do whatever you want with it, whenever you want with it.
You warm it up, and you serve it, then you warm it up again.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. So we'll follow Rove. Maybe if it would be 50-50, if you would ask me what's the din by 50-50, I would think that 50-50.
Most of the time you use it for storage.
That would be a complicated question, Chesky, because there are Yisurim Drabbanon of putting something on a fire. Even if it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko, there's still an Yisurim Drabbanon of Chazara Mitchila, which is when you have a cook, you know, this question comes up. I don't want to talk about this now. Putting kugels back in the heating oven downstairs in our shul heating oven, putting a kugel, fully cooked kugel, back into a heating oven, just warming it up. So you can't do that. That's an issa d'rabbanan called chazara mitchila, which we're not going to talk about now.
But how you measure the time it's being used? It's time of storage.
So how do you define the rove? Do you find it by the number of hours that it's being used, or do you find the number of times that you, like, if when I put it in the fridge, it stays there for 36 hours.
Right.
When I put it in the oven, it was only in the oven for 1 hour.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's once in the oven and once in the fridge. I can't answer that question. I don't know the answer. Okay, I want to do one more point. And this is the question that relates to your question about maybe a bathing suit, but not really. What happens if... when we think of the word kli, shemalachto l'isser, I think of a hammer. I want to do an iser. I take my hammer and I do the malacha, I do the iser. The kli is my utensil, is the extension of my hand, is my yad, with whatever unique power that it gives me and the shape that it provides to do the malacha that I need to do. That's the point of using a tool. What is the pot doing? The pot is a receptacle. I put in water, I put in chicken, I put in carrots, I put in onions, I put in some spices. I situate it in a certain location, and then 10 minutes later, or whenever I want the fire on, I turn on a fire, and the soup that's inside of the pot gets cooked by the fire that I just turned on. So did I do a malacha with the pot?
Is that a Zekai or something?
No, that's the fire.
Even if you say Zevzeh Gorim, I understand. But my question is, I hear clearly, if you take a hammer, you do a malacha with the hammer. But is my pot a utensil of doing a malacha with? Am I violating a malacha with the use of the pot? Or the pot is just sort of providing a background, providing a circumstance where I can do the malacha of cooking, which is turning on the flame. Oh, look at the next line of the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim is going to say, well, what do you think the Rashba holds? The Rashba knew that. Everything the way I just presented it, the conceptual way of looking at a pot that I just presented, the Rashba knew that, and yet the Rashba still said that a pot is going to be a klisha malach l'isser. Next paragraph. When we differ here, Rashba hanal mashma, klisha malach l'isser, afal pi she'en bosen bo malecha s'isser, even though you're not doing a malacha with it, I highlighted this, kim she'mimela is avid isser. You're not using it as a tool to do isser. It's just that with this pot, an isser was achieved. An isser was accomplished. The pot is not a tool of malacha. It is a receptacle through which a malacha has been performed. And yet, the Rashba still said that that's a klisha malacha to isser. This will shed light on a whole new genre of klisha malacha to isser. Money. Do you take money and do malacha with it? No, money is a medium of exchange through which I violate the Issa Derabbanan of Pragmatia, of Mekach HaMemkar. What? I don't want to talk about that because that's a different Prima Gadim. Let's talk about a money that has a hole in the middle that is a Kli. Okay? That's the Prima Gadim talks about your question. We'll get there next week, hopefully. We're not going to get there today. What about a fabulous question? A candle. No, not a candle. You know, in the old times they had those lamps, like the little. Imagine the clay lamps that have a little receptacle for oil and a little thing spout coming out for the wick to come out. So that's a kli. That's a nair. Yes, but people think candle. I don't want to talk about a candle. It's a real kli. Do you do malacha with this kli? It's a receptacle for you to light a fire. It's just holding the stuff that you need so that you could do the malacha of Havara. So says the Prima Gadim, you see from this Rashba's application of Kli Malach Talisr to a pot, the same thing will be to money with a medium of exchange for Pragmatia, as is for a lamp where it's just serving as a receptacle. All those things will, yes, have a din of a Kli Malach Talisr, all learned from this incredible Rashba, this fundamental Rashba of a pot. However, Aval concludes the Prima Gadim, the last line of the Prima Gadim, Yesh Machlokas Bezeh. This last point, where we're talking about receptacles which provide an opportunity for doing malacha, but it's not actually a kli. Ki yesh omrim davka she'osim bo biyadayim malachas iser. Kikurnas, like a hammer. So the Prima Gadim says that this last point is subject to Machlokas, so there might be others who, he doesn't say who, unfortunately, I don't think even inside the Prima Gadim he doesn't say who. I don't remember. But it's not, so this question is not clear. Halach l'maisa, we will assume like this though. Halach l'maisa, if you have an empty pot on the counter, it is mukta. Therefore, what I always encourage people to do is when you have a soup pot that's almost finished, listen carefully. When it's almost finished, the last ladle, lift it up in your hand. Yeah. Then ladle out the last soup. What's the situation now? You have a mukta thing, but it's in your hand. It's a klisha malach talisr. So what are you allowed to do with it?
Put it wherever you want.
Wherever you want. Go open up the dishwasher, put it in the dishwasher. You want it somewhere else. You want to hide it somewhere else. You want to wash it. We're not getting into preparing for weekdays. Let's see. You want to wash it for whatever reason. You're going to wash it. You could still hold it in your hand and wash it while it's in your hand. No one says you have to put it down right away. You can put it wherever you want. I want to wash it first. Okay, so wash it first. If you need it for tomorrow, but if you're going to need it for tomorrow, then it's not going to be a klisha malach. It might not be a klisha malach to l'isser, so I don't want to, that's a tzarech gufa anyway, but.
Well, you leave a little food in it.
If you leave it, that's what I'm saying. Leave a little food in it, then put it in your hand, but once you take the food out, you want to ladle out the last soup to give your last guess. Now it's empty. You could still, since it's in your hand, you could still carry wherever you want. Okay. Let's finish off with the Be'er Halacha, who talks about this point of the Rashba and of Pats. And what about things that are used for both, for permitted uses and not permitted uses? They're sort of half and half. The case that I think might be, in your kitchen you have shears, and sometimes your wife uses it for poultry, and sometimes she uses it to cut gift wrap. And pretty much equally, they're not one or the other. So says the Beir Halacha on the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, on this if, he brings the Prima Gadim with the Rashba, Ulanias Daiti, Zedavka in Ikara hu rak l'melaches iser, v'rak l'fa'amim ishtamish ba l'heter. Ulanian Zeyesh Raya Mikadeira, di Ikara na'as l'tavshil. If you have a kli that's primarily for iser, and once in a while you do it for heter, then we'll follow Rov and say it's considered indeed a kli shemlach to l'iser. Aval Rabosai, poultry shears. Are you mocked? So somebody mentioned this story before. If you use poultry shears both for poultry and for cutting gift wrap, so when Shabbos comes in, will you mocked to your das? No, because the two equally available options for you to use this is, yes, there's a heter, there's an iser use available for it, to cut paper and to cut gift wrap, but there's an equally heter, there's an equal heter available for you to use, and that's to cut the chicken. So therefore, are you mocked to das from this poultry shears? No. For example, shears that are for both poultry and paper. For actual is, it happens to be I cut gift wrap more often than I cut chicken. I happen to cut gift wrap a lot because I give gifts every Friday. And chicken, we only use the chicken every other Shabbos. So do we look at percentages? We look at how many times you do this, how many times you do this? No. If it's something that's used typically for both, Minolan de matzah dietemineh, mecha taste that your matzah yodas, ta'asuyum lechas heter gamkein. So therefore, a pot, we're going to say, is, we're going to finishing with this, it's already late, a pot you definitely use primarily for cooking. It's true, you could use it for some other things, so then we'll look at rov. But if you equally use it for two hishtam shios, like shears that you sometimes use for poultry, sometimes mutter hatter. So then, the fact that you have two equal opportunities, I'm not going to say, but 70% of the time it's to cut muktzah, it's to cut paper, and 30% of the time it's to cut poultry. No, because since in your mind there are two available gold, these items are called shears. Shears have two purposes. Pots are good for cooking. But the shear is for two purposes, and therefore I don't care what the majority usage is. Even if it's 70-30, I will still allow it, leave it in my das, I'm going to be making it in my das, and will therefore, yes, be available for my use. Be'ez Hashem, next week, we're going to talk about the level one step removed, which will be something like telephone books, where you use it even less than it. This Prima Gun is brilliant, of differentiating between a hammer and a receptacle of that where malacha takes place, like pot and an air. And now we're going to go even further away, where you have something like a telephone book, that will be next week, and then we'll talk about the parameters of putting it around, putting it down wherever you want.
Anyway. We can't win.